I just thank you for just teaching me and that I'm able to teach others and that they can weigh it and they can sift it and they can throw out the bones and keep what's right. I just challenge them all to just check this with Scripture and bear witness with the Holy Spirit. You're such a loving God. You're so full of grace and you're so merciful and stuff like that. But you're also our judge, a just one who has, we have a lawyer that stands there ready to say, forgiven, 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 forgiven. And we are. And we just want, I want more victory now, here today, standing in this dirt until you send Satan down forever. And Lord, I thank you that I'm a son. And I've always been a son and will always be a son. And I want to stand today as a victorious son. And so I pray that these words of mine are not mine, but of the Holy Spirit, bringing forth your truth. Amen. So, to this point, I've made you aware of our primary enemy. We all know that he's Satan. And the need to put on our armor piece by piece. You can't choose one out of the seven or two out of the seven. You need to put it all on if you want to be fully protected, right? So, before, again, like I said, moving on, we've got to deal with the other enemy. Oh, what do you mean? It's not just Satan? Well, he's behind it all, really. But you do have another enemy. The Bible speaks of an adversary that plagues Christians so much. John tells us that it's the outside influence of the world triggering the inward lustfulness of the flesh. Well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You chose to do it. Every devil's under this rock. That, quit giving him all the credit. Yeah, some of those thoughts and all those things, and he's got assignments, he's got governmental agencies that are hierarchies that are in areas that are going to make things difficult, but you know what? We have the discerning of spirits, and we can recognize that, and we can come against it with the Word of God, and we know how to fight. But a lot of times, we're not fighting even in that battle. We're fighting against our own flesh. So I don't want to get so tunnel vision and stay on all the spiritual warfare and move to the next piece of armor until we fully dealt with this whole thing of putting on righteousness. Because Jesus himself put it on, and we read that in Isaiah last time. And he did it so well that he was obedient 100% of the time in all things, and that's why he was never sick, and that's why he never went through that. He had persecution, and he suffered because that's what the people came against him with. But you know what? I don't know about the rest of you. I welcome that compared to walking through all this other garbage we're going through that we don't have to out of relief because God's given us the provision to get over it. We just got to wear it. We got to put it on. He's done it. So this other enemy we're going to talk about today, and then we'll move on to the shoes of peace next week, is the outside influence of the world, which really results, and I'm going to say this, it triggers the inward lustfulness of the flesh. Your battle is not only against Satan, it's against your flesh. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. John says, don't love the world, nor the things in the world. Don't get distracted. You guys are so busy, so am I. If anybody loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in them. That's a strong statement. That means we've lost our priority. He didn't care how busy you want to get, or how big a boat you want, or how big a house you want, or how busy you are taking care of all this, taking care of that. He says, I can take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll take care of all that for you. If you had that much faith. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, which involves the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, it's from the world. He knows what's distracting you. The world is passing away. He's letting you know. I don't care, like Solomon said, I can gain the whole world, but if I lose, what did he say? I gain the whole world, but hold on. Remain steadfast. Persevere in your faith. Because you can have the whole world, but without God, you got nothing. The world is passing away, but all, and also it's lust. The things that you're lusting for, that ain't going to be there anymore. But the one who does what? The will of God lives forever. What's another name for that? Obedience. What's another name for that? Sanctification. Put whatever label you want on that. But it involves you coming underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ and what he said. Satan fights us in the spiritual realm. And we're told to what? Stand and fight. Our flesh attacks us in the natural realm. Through inappropriate desires, you know what I'm talking about. And we're told to what? Flee. See, there's a difference when we come with the Word of God and we know we're battling a spiritual enemy and it's Satan and it's coming straight from him But we know sometimes when it's just our flesh and our inward desire, and we know that we shouldn't be doing what we're doing and stuff like that. You know what? Whether you think that's from Satan or that's coming from your flesh. And we're told to flee. So let's not get so spiritual that we forget that we have a battle with our flesh right in front of our eyes. See, there's an invisible battle that's happening in the spiritual realm against our Satan being our enemy. But there's also one right here in the materialistic world that you battle every single day. And that's right in front of your eyes. It's called a holy war. Paul calls it an ongoing holy war between the what? The flesh and the spirit. He didn't say the devil and the spirit. He said your flesh and the spirit. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit is against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. You remember Paul's argument? You find yourself falling into the same old sins you've been doing all the time and wondering, how can I win this war that I'm in? Well, you said it in your conference one time. What are you feeding? Are you feeding the wolf? Or are you feeding the... What's the other one? I don't know, whatever. Whatever you feed will grow is what you were... The point was, if you feed your godly desires of those things that are pleasurable and true and holy and just, then you're going to grow into those things. But if you're feeding, you know, bitterness and opposition and contention and strife and lust and all that, then that's going to grow. It's a holy war. Paul was in it. He was involved in it. He wasn't so super spiritual that he didn't confess his sins to you. You're not alone. He knew he had a salvation. We're not talking about losing our salvation, folks. We're talking about having victory in the here and now, bringing the kingdom of God, a love, joy, peace manifested in your life by taking all of those things that are in the way, repenting for them. Jesus right up there telling Satan, sit down, shut up, you have no case. Because he's literally there till he is thrown down. God help the world when that happens and the Holy Spirit's taken up. Oh my God. Trouble in River City. Big time. But Pastor, what does the Bible mean by the flesh? Since I've talked about this, some, you know, I don't want to assume anything. Taken in context, apart from its physical meaning, we know that we have flesh like this, but you know, there's more than one meaning to a word, and we have to look at it in context with Scripture. So I'm not talking about the times he's talking about that he put flesh and sinew on you and stuff. We're talking about the war, the holy war between your flesh, your desires, and the spirit. So apart from its physical meaning, the Bible says that man, we're made up of body, physical body, soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and spirit, that which comes from God, right? He says that man is made up of body, soul, and spirit, and apart from God, we're called flesh. And we'll say that again. In context, it says that man, apart from God, apart from what God has endowed us with in his spirit, with his spirit, with the Holy Spirit convicting of us, giving us a sense of right and wrong, apart from God, we are just what? Flesh and bones that goes back to the dust from whence we came. So the flesh is referring to our human nature. Let's make it easy. Apart from God's divine influence. So we got God's divine influence through the spirit, hence the war against the spirit, against the human nature, your flesh. So it's not just Satan. You got your old human nature there fighting against you. It's that part of you, I'll put it this way, that is prone to sin, that is opposed to God. Your flesh is what gives Satan his opportunities. Remember, he says, do not give Satan an opportunity. What gives him an opportunity? Your choice to fulfill the desires of your flesh. Whether they come from your flesh directly or whether they come from Satan setting you up. You got two wars here. So you better understand that when we're putting on this armor, I didn't want you to think it was all coming from the devil. Folks, you got choices to make. And some of those choices, it's your own flesh that's posing the problem. You're your own worst enemy is a good way to put that. He tempts us, Satan does, using our natural humanistic tendencies in order to gain an advantage. See, Satan's going to use what you in the flesh and with your own desires, he's going to say, hey, they're okay, don't worry about it, you won't offend God. Please your flesh, it's okay. You're not going to lose it. Here's where that doctrine of super grace comes in. You're not going to lose your salvation. So because we know we're not going to lose our salvation, it gives us a reason to sin. No, we're not going to lose our salvation. But because of his great love on the cross, that we should remember what he died for, and it should motivate us to do what's right. And he likes to twist everything, doesn't he? So here's why your flesh must die. The Bible says crucify it. You know what it means? It means die. Kill it. Kill it. Kill the influence. Kill the desire. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. First of all, let's look at the flesh. Here's why your flesh has died. Number one, flesh is weak. Now I'm just going to start throwing scripture at you because you don't need to hear from me. Why do we have to kill the flesh and why does it have to die? Because it's weak. Romans 6:19. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Tells you right there. I got to talk to you at a baby level because you're weak. Your flesh is weak. You haven't exercised your spirit man enough. I won't sit here and tell you you're not in church enough, you're not in fellowship enough, you're not reading your Bible enough, you're not doing all that stuff, right? That's all duty. But let me tell you something. All of those things, like if you went to the gym, well, look at all these weights. I'm just going to do it on my own without all those things. I don't have to lift the weights. I don't have to use the barbells. I don't have to use the dumbbells. I don't have to use that. No, those tools are there for you. Bible study, worship, praise and worship, all the things we do together in communion together, all that stuff. These are ways to build spiritual muscle. Because if you don't, God's going to have to keep us on milk. Talk to us in human terms because our flesh is weak. Just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity. In other words, you didn't have a problem sinning before you knew God. And it resulted in your further lawlessness, doing wrong. So now that you know that Christ died on the cross for you, you have a heavenly Father that wants to love, embrace, and kiss you and put the ring on your finger and the shoes on your feet and wants to celebrate a feast with you and have you represent heaven like it really should be represented and have you walk in health and strength so you represent them well so people don't think we're hypocritical. He says, now present your members, that's our hands and feet, our desires, all of those things, as slaves. In other words, buffet your body. You know it's the wrong thing to do. Don't do it. Make a choice. Make your body a slave to what? Righteousness, doing what's right. And it results in what? That sanctification process. Becoming more like Jesus, becoming more holy till one day we fully are. None of us are going to arrive, but folks, I'm asking you just examine where you are and do better. Take every day and go to the next level. That's what God's called us to do. That's how we're going to experience victory while we're here. Don't just wait for the rapture patrol like you said last time. And so you get to heaven and God says, look, I gave you one talent. What did you do with it? Well, I buried it in the backyard. Come on, take chances. Get out there. I've given you gifts. Be bold. Be strong for the Lord thy God. He's with you. It may seem idiotic. It may seem stupid. You may think that you're out there on a limb, and you probably are. So what? I'm the one who made the limb. Romans 8:3, flesh is weak. Flesh is weak for what the law could not do. Weak as it was through the what? Do you know that the law was given us to show us the way to righteousness? Righteousness is just right behavior. God gave us commandments. They're holy. They're what we should do, right? It was a way to attain righteousness. But guess what? The law could never do that for us. There's no way you could be that good. So the law could never be the fulfillment of righteousness. That's why it says the law wasn't abolished. It wasn't done away with. It's still the way to go. It's just that Jesus fulfilled the requirement of it for you. But all of that's still good. But he says it's not written on stone anymore. It's written on your heart. Therefore, the things like do not murder, don't take it literally. Don't even think about it. Don't commit adultery. Don't take it literally. Don't even think about it because then it becomes adultery in your heart. Well, what about a Sabbath day and a certain Saturday? You should be worshiping in spirit and truth every day of the week. See, we take the law and we want to make it literal and then add to it. And we got this whole legalism. No, it's not about that anymore. What the law could not do. What's the phrase? Jesus is our righteousness. So we're free to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And it may go against some of those little written, and I say it won't ever go against God's word, but you know what I'm talking about. It just doesn't put it in the same perspective. How we look at and we'll use Sabbath, how we look at the Sabbath isn't a day of the week anymore. We look at the Sabbath through Jesus. He is our rest. It's not about the little laws you couldn't do on Saturday. You can't even push a button over in Israel sometimes on the elevator to go to the next floor or whatever because it would be breaking the Sabbath because it's work. Give me a break. Jesus was trying to deliver them from that. I am righteousness. He was just giving us those rules to show us that we needed a Savior. So the law couldn't do it, weak as it was through our flesh because it meant we had to respond. We had to work for our salvation. You can't work for it. It's a free gift from God. But God did. He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he did work for it. He did be obedient in all things. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. What does he mean? He condemned sin in the flesh. That means in our flesh, he condemned the sin that's going on in it. And the only requirement on our part is we had to repent and come to faith in him. Wow. Did he really make it easy? Or you guys be burning animals every day? I would. Second of all, flesh is worthless. It's weak. Bible says flesh is worthless. Your flesh is worthless. Let's look at it. Romans 7:18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is where? In my flesh. Nothing good. It's worthless. For the willing is present in me, but the doing is not. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. What does he say about your flesh again? Do you get it? The flesh profits nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. You don't follow my words. You want to follow your way, your desires, your will. It ain't gonna profit you anything in God's kingdom. Oh, it may get you some things while you're here. We'll enjoy it because when it's over, you know the story. Third of all, so we know the flesh is weak. We know the flesh is worthless. It says the flesh is warring with God and his spirit. You really want that? The flesh is warring against God and his spirit. Let's go back. Romans 8:7. Because the mind is set on the flesh. When you set your mind on the things in the world and the flesh, it's hostile towards God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do that. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh sets its desire what? Against the spirit. Here we go again. Spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition. So you don't even do the things that please you. Fourthly, so we know it's weak. We know it's worthless. We know it's warring against God. The flesh is without the ability to please God or to produce righteousness in your life. You cannot please God, and it cannot produce righteousness in your life, which is what God is wanting to do, right? He's deposited in you. Now he wants it to outflow from you. But look, Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? When you get saved, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? So for all you legalistic people and the Ten Commandment people and all that kind of stuff, where you're going back and trying to do and trying to work your way to heaven and all that kind of stuff, God's not telling you to go back to do that. He says, love me and I'll kiss you and put a ring on your finger and love you so much, you're going to naturally, from the Holy Spirit's promptings, just obey everything. It may not look like exactly what's written on those pages, but I don't care because I've written it on your heart and I know you. And you know me and my sheep know my voice. That's how you live freely in the Spirit. But we can't throw away the Ten Commandments because what? They represent righteousness. They're good. You can't keep them, but he does. And always has. So you can't just throw it away and say, people, oh, you can go murder. No, you can go steal. I think you get it. Did I do Romans 8:8? Let's do that. And those who are in the flesh, I'll let you read the rest. Cannot please God. So when you're doing your fleshly things opposed to the desires of God, but you think you have the liberty to do so and stuff like that, you're not pleasing God. So we know it's weak, we know it's worthless, we know it's warring with God, we know that you can't please God, we know it doesn't produce righteousness in your life. Unfortunately, with all of that, and I just wanted to just give you what flesh was, our old nature has the ability. And maybe we can ask God one day. Our old nature has the ability to be resurrected. We are to crucify our flesh, right? We're told to kill that thing, kill those desires. Make a choice not to go look at that girl the second time, or not to go over there and have that 15th drink, or not to go over here. Come on, right? Our old nature has the ability to be resurrected if we choose to participate with sin. We crucify it daily, but those old sins can come right on back. You can resurrect them if you choose to do that. The devil ain't going to make you do it because he can't. Because you got righteousness inside of you and peace and joy and all the things necessary. But if you turn your back on that and make a willful choice to participate with sin, you resurrect the old man. Got to kill that boy and keep him dead. Romans 6, 4-6. 12 and 13, let's read it. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from dead through the glory of the Father, so we too, what? might walk in the newness of life. He didn't say you will walk. Might walk in that newness. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, and we do when we get justified and we're going, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him because we accepted him and realized, well, we got more life with God than we could ever have in this world. Our old life was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to it. He realizes, you know, you're saved, you're part of the kingdom, but you can still be a slave to sin down here. If you don't crucify your flesh, if you don't make willful choices to battle against the enemy, he tells you you have to keep battling until you're finally with him. Once you get raptured, you're going to have the fullness of it all, and you won't need to. But right now, he's calling upon your free will as sons and daughters who he loves, and it pleases him to see your faith and see you battle and see you put the armor on and see you kick the devil's tail and watch you speak to that mountain. He wants you. It's like that guy up there. Yeah, I want you. Well, the heck with the United States wanting us for war. God's calling you to war, and he's told you, I've already won that war. I've given you everything you need to win that war. Now go kick butt. My translation. Verse 12 and 13. Therefore, since we know all this now, we know we're saved. We know we're going. We know we got a battle with Satan while we're still in the here and now. Because he's still accusing us before. But we know we got our advocate that's willing to clear our slate every time so that we can have the victory every time. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you will obey its lusts. Focus on God's word and fellowship and worship and anything else to keep your mind busy. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's telling you, stay away from the world and the lust of the flesh. It will pull you in a direction, and then you wonder why we're sick, and we wonder why we're walking with, you know, finances and all in the right stuff. Your daddy didn't want that for you. Come on, what father does? If we don't want it in the natural for our children, how much more our heavenly father? But he's a just judge, and Satan's accusing you, and you're not repentant. So there's consequence for your sin. And so you live out that consequence for your sin. But I have to keep reminding for some of you, that's not saying you're still part of the house. You're still going to heaven. But you're just not living victoriously. Because you got to put on the righteousness. Okay. And do not go on. He's telling us, do not continue to present the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. You're alive. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Here's our prescription. Get it? So what is Paul saying? Do not let sin raise up in you. Do not let, do not let, do not let, do not let, do not let. Do not let the flesh express itself through you. And so, how does the flesh express itself? Galatians 5. All right, Pastor, how does the flesh express itself through me? Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Here they are. Here's your list. You want to write them down. Start checking them off and checking them every day in your life. Why not? Immorality. Impurity. Sensuality. If you recognize any of these, put them on your list for repentance, because I'm telling you, you're going to get victory through Jesus Christ. Idolatry. Anything but God. Sorcery. Enmities. Strife. Oh, really? That's on the list? Jealousy. Just outbursts of anger. Disputes. Oh my gosh. Dissensions. Factions, which are like divisions. Envying. Here's the list, folks. Go to it. Write it down. Make them. Drunkenness. Carousing. Things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice, that doesn't mean, you know, when you're slipping into these things and you're asking for repentance and Jesus is your advocate, you know, you're still part of the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about people who practice these things. That means, you know what? I'm going to go perfect my drunkenness. I'm going to go perfect this stuff because I could give a rip about God. He's not my Lord. I'll do what I want to do. He's talking about practicing such things. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what's the kingdom of God? You're not going to experience peace and joy and righteousness. Because you say, well, the kingdom of God, you're thinking heaven. The kingdom of God is what? Joy. You ain't got joy in your life. Oh, I don't have any peace in my life. I don't have certainly any righteousness in my life. Because what? I'm practicing just the opposite. That makes sense? Mark 7:20-23. Not just Paul, but Mark saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. It comes out. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed what? Evil thoughts, fornications, lust, thefts, murders, adulteries. There's some of your Ten Commandments. Deeds of coveting, deeds of wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. I could give a fifth grader this test, and I guarantee you they could pick out the things of the devil and things that are God. We should be able to see that in the spirit, right? All these evil things proceed from within, and they do what to you? That's why we're running into problems now. That's why you don't have complete victory now. Praise God, one day we're going to be dancing and shouting, and the lame are walking, and the blind are seeing. But the good thing about what we're studying is I believe it's available for us today if we will just follow the prescription God's given us. But don't condemn yourself because you're not, because we're all in the same boat, rowing. We got to just stop rowing and start being. And being just means loving them. And loving them means that all these things, you won't even have to make a list. They just won't come to mind anymore. Because you'll be immersing yourself, if you will, into the things of God. So I want to finish today with this. How to win. Okay, now you know that not only Satan is your adversary, but your flesh in the here and now, in the materialistic world, is your adversary. And you can really fight that by choices, right? So I want to show you how to do that. How to win the battle against your old nature. You got your new nature, which God's got in you, and your old. So how do you win it? Paul gives us two solutions, and we finish with those. He says what? Number one, crucify it. Crucify your flesh. Galatians 5:24. Let's look at it. Let's go to Galatians. Did I not do 18 and 19 before? Sorry. Go get it on the app. Now those who belong to Jesus Christ, any of those in here? Raise your hand if you belong to Jesus Christ. Okay, this applies to you then. But this is a serious statement. For those who belong to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I'm not going to ask you the question if you've crucified all your passions and desires yet. Okay? I won't ask that question. But that's expected. That's our road of sanctification. Doesn't disqualify you from heaven, but that's what Daddy wants. That's what Daddy wants. He wants you to have that spiritual communion we talked about today. That revelation of who He is and what He's done for you and the love that He has for you and the kiss and the embrace and all that, so that you'll just live with Him in His house doing His things His way. It really comes down to simplicity, doesn't it? So you got to take your old nature and put it on the cross. Just a little word about that. What does it mean to put something on the cross? Deal with it ruthlessly. If you watch crucifixion in Rome, it was ruthless. So if you're going to deal with your flesh, you're not going to mamby-pamby it. It doesn't work. And you all know that. You've got to deal with it ruthlessly. Crucify them. Folks, crucifixion was pitiless, painful, and permanent. The problem is we're anything but ruthless to our flesh. We want to leave a little bit of flesh in place in order to play around a little. We like pleasing self sometimes and playing on the edge of indulgence. And you know what I mean. Just a little bit of playing around, a little bit of indulgence. We're free. Grace, 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 grace. That's what I call hyper grace. I mean, you know, we don't trample upon the grace God's given us. We appreciate so much the inheritance. But we just want to live for Him and not even play around. Total devotion. Total submission, just like Jesus. For some people, it may be playing around with a relationship, which is going to destroy or ruin your life. Right? You know that you're participating with a relationship that could destroy or ruin your life. What does He say to do? Put it on the cross. For those married members, when you're just flirting with the secretary and you think it's harmless just because you just didn't get attention from your wife that night, so you're mad, so you're just going to, right? Crucify it. Remember the good things that your wife has done for you through all the years. Not just the bad things, the good things. Name, what did we do to encourage people? What did I tell you in a thing in an exercise we did one time? Go up to somebody and name five good things that you love about them. Because most of the time they're hearing about all the things you don't like about them. We complain when we want to say something. Rarely do we go up just to offer a free solicitation of how wonderful we all are. And we are, because we're God's kids. But God expects us to be His voice, His prophetic voice. We need to speak encouragement to each other every day, every part of the week. If you want to call somebody, if you get an unction to call them, don't say you're too busy to do it. Put down your agenda and just do it, because that person might be just waiting on, hanging on that one word, like some of you did for me today, because you know I've been under the weather for 3 or 4 days. And I know why I've been under the weather for some of it and stuff like that. There's some things I'm wrestling with that I've got to start walking in obedience to. And God's saying there's no more time left. It's time to walk. And if not, I'm going to sit you down. I'm going to speak loudly. Here's a quote. John R. Stott, some of you know he's a great teacher. He wrote, let me just put it this way. This is his concept of how he explains this war, this holy war going on. And it's beautiful. It's just as if, having nailed our old nature to the cross, we keep wistfully returning to the scene of its execution. We begin to fondle it, to caress it, to long for its release, even to try to take it down again from the cross. We need to leave it there. When some jealous or proud or malicious or impure thought invades our mind, we must kick it out at once. It is fatal to begin to examine it and consider whether we are going to give in to it or not. We have declared war on it. We are not going to resume negotiations. We have settled the issue for good. We are not going to reopen it. We have crucified the flesh. We are never going to draw the nails. Is that good or what? And then last and finally today, that was the first way. You have to do what? Crucify the flesh. And folks, basically it's a decision on your part to what? Take every thought captive. Turn. Just turn. Don't blame it on the devil. Just turn. Use your feet. Go. Call somebody. Get accountability partners. Whatever you got to do. Second and finally, we overcome the flesh by walking in the Spirit. And we all kind of know this, so I won't spend a lot of time. Galatians 5. I say walk in the Spirit. But I say, God says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, so you had to walk by the Spirit, now it's a different word. Now, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Why? Because it's not about rules and written on commandments. It's about being, what, obedient to the voice of God inside you. And then if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Scripture says we're to live in the realm of the Spirit, be led by the guidance of the Spirit, and walk by means of the Spirit. So the way you avoid the sins of the flesh is to bring our lives basically into conformity with the will of the Holy Spirit. What produces the kind of fruit which pleases God, you know that. He produces the kind of fruit, the Holy Spirit does, and pleases God. And you can be sure that love is at the center of it all. And so I conclude with this. What did I just say? The fruit of the Spirit is born of the Holy Spirit who lives within inside of you. You just become subservient. You become obedient to it. And that whole list of fruit, everything is tied together, just like the belt of truth holds all the armor together. Love. Love is the center of all the fruit in your life. And if you love the Lord your God and your neighbors yourself, everything will take care of itself. Listen to this. Another quote. From Galatians 5, 22 to 23 with a little bit of help. Not that it needs it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Out of love, there are 8 other qualities. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Joy is love smiling. Peace is love resting. Patience is love waiting. Kindness is love showing itself sensitive to the needs of others. Goodness is love making allowance and sacrificing for others. Faithfulness is love proving constant. Gentleness is love yielding. Self-control is love triumphing over selfish inclinations. Isn't that good? It's not enough, folks, to stop doing harmful things. We must replace them in our lives with wholesome things. Let's scale down the level of warfare that we're in by at least dealing with what we can see that is working against us. Deal with your flesh. It's a choice you can make. Let's nail it to the cross. Next week, we'll get back to the armor. Before I let you go and listen to this final song to go, this is what I'm sensing from the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot of us that are either dealing with some physical issues, financial issues, confusion, you name it. If it's in your life and it's not of God and you don't want it, we need to get rid of it.